Excited to preach this morning. I feel like it's been forever since I've preached with the accident and all of these other things that have been going on, vacation, all of those wonderful things. If I can get myself situated. It's been so long, I don't even know what to do up here, golly. But we are, believe it or not, still in our series called Gray Areas. This has been our summer series over this last couple of months or so. We're in week four of it. I just want you to know. It's taken 2 months, but this is the fourth week of the series. And I want to encourage you to go back and to listen to some other messages if you haven't. And I just realized I printed off the wrong notes. So let's see if I can pull them up on my phone here. This was the last message that I preached. Maybe the Lord wants you all to hear this one so you can go and listen to it wherever. Okay, let's see here. See if this one is it. Otherwise, Pastor Brandon's going off the cuff and there's no telling where we're going to end this thing. Let's see what happens. We are in week four while this loads of our series, and it has been a fun one. We've had some guest speakers mixed throughout this summer, some other things going on as well, but I am excited to wrap it up this week. It has been great. We've been talking about how do we navigate these gray areas in life, right? These areas that aren't necessarily mentioned in Scripture. And as we dig into this, I want to give you just a little recap of course, can't open file, something went wrong. All right, we're going to wing it. Peyton, you're going to have to help me with the slides because I know my points are on there. So you might have to, like, keep forward a little bit so I know I don't get off track. Anyway, I want to give you a recap of this series in case you have missed something or it's been a while since we've talked about this. We've been talking about these gray areas, how the Bible, what the Bible says is very black and white, right? Unless the letters are in red, it's pretty black and white. It's obvious what sin is and what sin isn't in Scripture. But there are things that we know in our culture and in our society that aren't necessarily mentioned in Scripture. Right? It was written for a culture 2,000 years ago, for people 5,000 years ago with the Mosaic Law and all of these things. And of course, there are advancements in the world that things might change a little bit. So the Bible doesn't say, hey, how do you navigate an iPhone? Doesn't mention it. What do you think about cars and technology? Says nothing about it. So how do we navigate these gray areas in life? Some people take the stance of, well, if it's not in Scripture, I want nothing to do with it. Right? That's where we get the Amish and the Mennonites. They're like, hey, you know what? Cars aren't mentioned in Scripture and electricity and all of these things, so we want nothing to do. It's from the devil. That's one way that you can do it. Or you can be open and accepting and embrace everything and say everything is okay and everything is permissible. Well, we know that Scripture is black and white, but that doesn't always mean that every area and situation we face in life is black and white. So how do we navigate those gray areas? Well, first we looked at the idea of sin is not an act, it's a matter of the heart, right? Sin is not an act, it's the matter of the heart. If we're going to look at what is sinful and what is not sinful, because that's the importance of a gray area to make sure we're living a holy and righteous life, we have to know what sin is. It's not an act, it's a matter of the heart. And we can't let our spiritual preferences become somebody else's spiritual principles, right? We can't say, okay, well, I think this is sinful. I think this isn't good for me, so I'm going to force this onto you. That doesn't work, right? You can have your own preferences in these gray areas in an area that is not quite sinful. For example, country music. Anybody like country music in here? Better be careful what I say today. All right. Country music is not necessarily mentioned in Scripture, right? But I could make the argument that, hey, when I listen to country music, it changes my attitude. It messes me up. It just puts me in the wrong frame of mind. I'm not worshiping the Lord. I'm not thinking about his words and the things of him. It doesn't bring glory to God in my life. And so I can have the spiritual preference of, hey, I don't listen to secular music. But then if I go to you and I try to force that on you and say, you also should not listen to secular music because it will keep you away from God, that is taking a preference and making it a principle for your life. And that's not what we're supposed to do. That's not what we are called to do. Yes, please. Thank you, sir. It's been a while. My throat's dry. So, the next thing that we looked at was there are some questions that we must ask ourselves if we are going to navigate these gray areas. We have to understand that we can't take our spiritual preferences, make them somebody else's spiritual principle, that sin is not an act. It's a matter of our heart, how we choose to live our lives. So how do we make sure that in these gray areas of life, we don't fall into sin and we continue to live a holy and righteous life pleasing to the Lord? The first thing we ask ourselves is this wise? And we looked at this in a message, right? That we look and we ask ourselves, is this a wise thing for me to do? Right? Is it wise for me to have a movie subscription that is supporting ungodly, unbiblical behavior? That was one of the examples. Is that a wise thing to do? Well, you have to decide. Is it okay if my children watch this for entertainment purposes, or is it unwise because they might get a wrong view and perception of the world? Right? We have wisdom. And if you don't know what the wise thing to do is, James says to ask the Lord, and he will give you the wisdom that you need. We ask ourselves, is it wise? And 95% of the things in gray areas will be knocked out if we ask ourselves, is it wise? Right? Is it wise for me to go and to watch this movie with five nudity scenes and all of this language and all of this stuff if I have a struggle with pornography? No, it's not a wise thing to do. So there you go. Don't do it. Right? That simple. But what do you do if you're not sure? You ask the Lord. The Lord will give you the wisdom. And the wonderful thing about God, we talked about this, is that God gave us common sense. Praise the Lord. That common sense is a natural God-given wisdom. That if you can't use common sense to justify it, you probably shouldn't do it. Second thing that we asked ourselves was, is this beneficial? Is this gray area beneficial for me? And we looked at this in 1 Corinthians, right, where Paul says everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And we like to use that to justify, well, everything's permissible, so let me do it. And we forget about the but is everything beneficial aspect. So we looked at how we have to have a holistically healthy life. We have to be physically healthy and spiritually healthy. And so in these gray areas, we ask ourselves, is this something that is beneficially helpful to me to have a holistically healthy life? Physically, caffeine is not beneficial for me, right? The Bible says nothing about caffeine, nothing at all. You can put it in a Word document and you can search caffeine and it's not going to come up in the Bible. Right? It's a gray area. Bible doesn't say if it's right or it's wrong. But for me, it's wrong because it is physically unhealthy because I have a heart condition where my heart races at like 160 beats a minute. I got to take medication for it. When I drink caffeine, it makes it all cattywampus. There's a good southern word for you. Makes it all messed up. It's not physically beneficial for me. So for me, it is not okay to drink caffeine. Spiritually as well, we have to make sure that we are spiritually healthy. What are things in your life that spiritually pull you away from Jesus? And it may not be beneficial. Why do we talk about all of this? Why did we recap? Well, one, because it's been a while since we've been in this series. Two, it's important because sometimes we just need to hear things a couple of times to really get it in. But third, as we looked at these last two questions that we ask ourselves in a gray area, is this wise or is this beneficial? There's something similar about these two questions. These two questions have everything to do with me. Is this wise for me? Is this beneficial for me and my relationship with God and my physical health? Is this something wise for me to do? But what we have to understand is that not everything is about us. And your relationship with God is not just about you. It's about other people. So as we navigate these gray areas, we really have to understand this point, that the gray areas in life are not just about you, but it's about other people as well. That's why this week we are looking at the question, when you're faced with a situation in life that the Bible doesn't necessarily tell you what to do, you should ask the question, do other people stumble because of this? Do other people falter in their relationship with Christ because of my choice in this gray area? Other people are important to your relationship with God. We live in a culture and a society that is so me-centric. And the kingdom of God is we-centric. It's about us, all of us together, serving the Lord together. You know, Jesus and his ministry, he didn't come to earth, and Jesus didn't just do everything by himself, right? Jesus could have gone all over the world, and he could have healed people, he could have raised them from the dead, he could have cast out demons all by himself. But he had 12 other disciples. Not only that, but we see that he had 70 other disciples that he sent out in pairs of two to continue to do the work. Jesus made it very clear that his kingdom was not just about him, it was about everyone. And it's the same with our relationship with Christ. It can't just be about us. It has to be about the people around us. Your faith affects every person around you. Your faith affects your spouse. Those of you who have a spouse that doesn't follow the Lord, you know how much that affects you spiritually. It affects you. Your faith affects your children and your grandchildren. It affects your coworkers. It affects your neighbors. It affects the guy walking into Walmart in the parking lot right next to you that you say hi to. It affects every single one of them. So how does my faith affect other people? Perfect example. While we were on vacation, Kinsey and I drove. The rest of her family, they flew. And when they got there, they had to Uber everywhere. They had to take very expensive taxi cab rides. That's what I call them. And in one of them, they had to drive over an hour to get to where we were going. And so my brother-in-law, Jared, who's a pastor, his wife, their three kids, all get into this guy's Uber. And this guy immediately starts talking about how he accidentally hit accept on the ride. He did not want to drive them an hour away. And he was just complaining the entire time about not having to drive an hour away. And then, after like 15 to 20 minutes, they're like, it is super hot back here. Can we please turn on some air? And he goes, my air is broken. No wonder he didn't want to drive an hour. Through conversations, they could have just like, get me out right now. They could have chewed and cussed him out. Just, this is the worst ride ever. But instead, they showed grace. They showed humility, they showed love, they asked him if everything was okay going on in his life, and he had some stuff going on in his life that was just stressing him out. And when he found out that my brother-in-law was a pastor, afterwards they got out of the car, they prayed for each other, they said he felt so much better after that encounter than before. Your relationship with God, it affects other people, whether you believe it or not. Jesus knew this. This is what he taught in Matthew chapter 22. He sums up the law of Moses with two commands. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Well, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And a second is equally important. Just because it's second doesn't mean it's less important. It's equally important to love your neighbor as yourself. So as we are talking about these gray areas in life, I want to ask you the question, do you love your neighbor in these moments? And when I talk about gray areas, what I'm really talking about are those areas in our Christian walk where we're like, you know what, this might not be beneficial for me, you know, and other people might think certain ways about me, but I'm going to do it anyway because it's me, it's my relationship with God, and God's okay with it, and I'm okay with it, so let's just do it. For example, let's talk about drinking. Everybody's, oh, that's talking about alcohol. Think about it for a moment. Think about it. If you as a follower of Christ, which we've already said, Scripture nowhere says that drinking is a sin. It says getting drunk is a sin, right? We've talked about how do you find the line, all that kind of stuff. That's not what we're talking about right now. Just talking about drinking. If you drink alcohol, you had a bad day at work, and you're going through all of these questions, right? Man, is alcohol a sin? No, it's a matter of the heart. It's not an act. This is just an act. My heart is fine. So no, it's not a sin. Okay, you got that. Then you ask yourself, well, is it wise? Like, well, you know, some research says that a glass of wine a day is actually healthy for you, right? Paul tells Timothy to take a little bit of wine for his stomach. So yeah, I could say that it's wise to indulge a little bit in alcohol. Okay, you got that question. Then you ask, is it beneficial? Well, man, you don't know the day I've had. It is very beneficial in this moment. I'm not going to ask you if anybody's been there. And all of these have been yes so far, right? In this gray area of whether Christians should drink or not. And then you get to this question. Will others stumble because of it? And immediately right off the bat, I know what every single one of you are thinking. You're trying to justify, well, no, it's not going to cause somebody else to stumble. How is that going to happen? Let's think about it. You get off work late. Last thing you want to do is make dinner. It's been a terrible day. You just want to go to the restaurant to get a beer or a glass of wine, and you just want to enjoy your meal, right? Sure, that's happened. And in comes somebody, one of your neighbors, a community member, who the night before had one of the worst hangovers of their life. They are addicted to alcohol. They woke up this morning and they said, man, today is the day that I turn my life around. I can't keep doing this anymore. I'm going to stop drinking. And they walk in just to get something to eat, try to get it through this day without taking a drink. And they look over and they see you, who they know is a Christian. They know attends Mountain View Assembly of God, that has a relationship with the Lord. They see you on Facebook when somebody says they need prayer, and you're the first one to say, hey, I'm praying for you. Or you're one of those like really godly people who actually types out the prayer in the comments of what you're praying. You guys know what I'm talking about? That's what my mom does. And I'm like, hey, she actually just prayed for me because I just read her prayer. They know you as that person. And they see you drinking alcohol. Immediately, in their mind, you caused a stumbling block. Say, well, Pastor, that's a hypothetical situation. Like, is that really going to happen? I promise you, it happens more than you know. As a pastor, I have been in this town for almost 3 years, and I can't count how many conversations I have had with people who have this struggle and who wish that they could get over it. And they've talked about coming to church, but because of fear of judgment or ridicule or conviction from the Holy Spirit, they haven't made it yet. But they struggle every day with this right here. And then we try to justify in our mind, yeah, Pastor, I get it that they struggle, but what does their struggle have to do with me? That's what the world tells us, right? It doesn't have to affect me. If it doesn't bother you, don't worry about it. And God says, that's not it. You're supposed to worry about other people. Your relationship affects other people. You are the salt and light of the earth. You are the shining beacon in a hill. I have set you apart from the world to share the love of Christ with them. Say, well, man, what do you mean? It's hard. We struggle. We're just like, but it doesn't bother me. I find it wise. I find it beneficial. I find it acceptable. But this person struggles. This is what Scripture says in Romans chapter 14. I'm going to be preaching good today. I just want you to know. It says this starting in verse 13. It says, "So let's stop condemning each other and decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall." I know and am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it is wrong, then for that person it is wrong. Again, talking about spiritual preferences, spiritual principles. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, look at this. We look at the whole, you know what, I have my spiritual, or they have their spiritual preferences. They can't make it a principle for me. Their preference is to not drink. My preference is that I can indulge, so don't make it a principle for me. But look at this. If another believer is distressed by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you eat. What was the second commandment that Jesus says? To love your neighbor as yourself. Go to the next slide, please. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died, then you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat, but remember that all foods are acceptable, but it's wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. You may believe there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, but keep it between yourself and God. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty for doing something they've decided is right. But if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it, for you're not following your convictions. And if you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. Now you may be looking at this and thinking, but Pastor, he's talking about causing other believers to stumble, other Christians. So who am I to try to refrain from people who don't even know the Lord if they're struggling with something? Going back to my analogy of somebody walking into the bar and all this stuff. My answer to that would be if the Lord takes stumbling another believer this seriously, how much more seriously should we take the soul of somebody who doesn't yet know Christ? Should we really put another roadblock on their path to get to know Jesus? I don't know about you, but if you have been on social media, you have seen this whole deconstructing faith movement, right? This ex-evangelical movement and all of these things. And a lot of their issues come from this right here. It comes from people who are saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to act this way because this is what I believe is right. And they see that and they look at it as hypocritical. And I think a lot of things that we call hypocritical aren't actually hypocritical. But it's this right here. We're causing other people to stumble in their faith. Your relationship with God does not only matter to you. It matters to other people. And just to make sure we get all of the challenges with this question out, because I know we all, this is the hardest question we have to ask ourselves. And we will come and we will rebuttal against it and try to find the loophole, because that's how we are as human beings. You may be thinking, but Pastor, if you want to get technical with the scripture that you just read, Paul is talking about food, right? He says, don't stumble with food. And if you look at the context, who he's talking to in Rome is that these believers were eating food that was blessed and given to Roman gods as worship. And these Christians over here weren't okay with it.
So he was telling these Christians who were eating food, blessed and worshiped to other idols, to stop eating it because these people have an issue with it. That's what's going on here. It has nothing to do with alcohol. It has nothing to do with all of these other things. If you want to get technical, which I don't encourage you to do with the Word of God, let the Holy Spirit speak through it. But if you want to get technical, I think it's, go to the next slide. Nope, go back. Right here, Romans 14, 21. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. See, Paul knew how human beings think. And he's like, just to make sure you don't get caught down in the strict religious list and structure of food, let me just say wine and any other thing as well. If it causes somebody to stumble, you are not to do it as a follower of Christ. I want you to sit with that for a minute. That's hard to swallow. I don't know about you, but for me, for your pastor, that's hard to swallow. That not only do I have to look at my actions in relation to me and God, and am I serving the Lord? Am I following God? Am I living a holy and righteous life, pleasing and serving and obedient to Him? But now I also have to look at my life and say, well, man, am I causing somebody else to stumble? Am I leading them into sin or into temptation? Am I causing them to go astray from their relationship with the Lord, or putting up another barrier and roadblock on their road to finding Christ and His love and His mercy and His salvation? That's a lot on a follower of Jesus. But then I think about everything we put on Jesus. I think about all of the weight of the sin of the world that was upon Him. I think about the times in the Garden of Gethsemane when He was praying, and he was praying so desperately for you and I, He was bleeding sweat. I think about all of the times that He went up against the devil, and the devil is trying to lead Him astray and pull Him away from God's plan for your life and for my life and for His life. And He says, no, I have a job to do. I will sacrifice everything. I will sacrifice worldly riches. I will sacrifice all of these temptations. I will sacrifice my life so these people can have a relationship with their Lord and Savior. He gave up everything for you and I. And what He asks us in return is to lay down our life, pick up the cross, and follow Him. And in these gray areas of life, it is the hardest place to do that. It's easier to lay down our life and to follow Christ when we read the Word of God and we see the list of do's and don'ts, even though that's still hard too, right? We look at Scripture and we see that sex before marriage is a sin. And in our society today, and even in the church, we struggle with that. And that's a black and white issue right there. Think even more the gray areas in our life, how much we struggle. And we say, man, now I got to think about all of these people too. And I'm not just picking on alcohol. I'm using alcohol because I want you to be aware that out of all of these gray area issues that we've talked about, right, we've talked about dancing, we've talked about going to movies, we've talked about cussing, we've talked about drinking, we've talked about a lot of stuff. Out of all of them, the gray area that is most abused and prevalent in our community is this issue of alcohol. If I asked each one of you to give me a name of somebody in our community that you know is addicted to alcohol and needs delivered from it, you could give me three names by the end of service. Almost guarantee that. We all know people who struggle with this addiction so much. People that have relationships with Jesus and people who don't. And you and I, as followers of Christ, are called to lay down our preferences, our desires, in order for them to get closer to the Lord. And that right there is one of the most selfless, sacrificial things you will ever do in your life. It is. In an area of alcohol or any other gray area that we have talked about, to give it up so somebody else gets a little bit closer to Jesus. You say, so Pastor Brandon, I understand. My relationship with God does not just affect me. I have to ask myself in these areas, does this cause somebody else to stumble? And most of the time, the answer will be yes. Because the issue is not with you, it's with them. And depending on who you're around and talking to, that issue might change. Right? You might be around somebody who has an alcohol issue, and so you have to refrain from that. You might be around somebody who is just really influenced, and they have a history with pornography and sexual infidelity and all this stuff, and you want to go see this new Avengers movie, but there's this romantic scene in it, and you're like, hey, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't go see that movie, even though you really want to see the movie. These are difficult things. But in Romans 14, this is what he says. If I can find the verse. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And if you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God, and others will approve of you too. Say, well, is there more that I need to do other than just, hey, I got to refrain from this gray area and this entertainment or this pleasure that I get from the world that's not necessarily a sin for me? Yes, it says this. It says, if you do this, you will live a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And if you show that to other people, they too can experience a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So how does this happen? When we get into these areas, how do we know, okay, this is the stumbling block for this person, so I need to refrain from this gray area? Well, you follow your convictions. Follow your convictions. What do I mean by that? I mean you follow the Holy Spirit. You listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, he never condemns you, right? That's the enemy's job. That's Satan's job, to come and to condemn you and to make you feel guilt and shame and all of these things and to turn from the Lord. Conviction is this realization that what I have done is wrong, and by God's grace, he has saved me from it. That's what conviction is. And when the Holy Spirit convicts you in an area saying, hey, you're leading this person down a rough path, they're going to stumble and they're going to fall. When he convicts you of that, that's when you have to say, okay, hey, maybe I need to not have this in my life or not anymore. This is what the end of this passage says, starting in verse 22. You may believe there's nothing wrong with what you are doing, but keep it between yourself and God. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty for doing something they have decided is right. So listen very closely. If you have decided that this gray area in your life is something that is right, it's not sinful, it's not going to lead you into sin, and you have consciously and clearly come to that decision, Scripture says right here, be blessed for those who don't feel guilty for doing something that they No, is right. Don't feel guilty for doing it, but keep it between you and God. Then he says in verse 23, but if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it, for you are not following your convictions. If you do anything that you believe is not right, you are sinning. Whoa. That last sentence. In this entire series about gray areas, I have tried to define some of our culturally more acceptable gray areas, or even not, so you kind of know what we're talking about, right? We're talking about drinking, we're talking about dancing, we're talking about going to the movies. If you grew up in a legalistic church like I did, you know, like, there's a list of all these do's and don'ts, right? You don't drink, don't chew, don't go with girls that do, you don't go rollerblading, don't go to the movies, don't go bowling, you don't do all of these things, right? Those are all gray areas. But that's not the only gray areas. If you find yourself in a situation in life, and we all will, and we think, man, is this something that I should be doing or not? If you're thinking that, the immediate answer is no. If you can't come to the conclusion that, yes, this is okay, Scripture says right here, don't do it. If you do anything you believe is not right, or if you have doubts about whether or not you should do it, don't do it. So if you're like, man, you know what? Kinsey is a perfect example. I know she won't feel bad for me using her as an example. My wife is growing up in a pastor's home, and we grew up very much the same, that drinking is a sin, that if alcohol touches your lips, that is a sin, and you need to repent from God. And up until, I want to say fairly recently, but a few years ago, when we started reading Scripture and trying to understand, we're like, you know what, that's not actually what Scripture says. It talks very specifically about getting drunk. Kinsey has come to the conclusion, actually for a long time, she's like, well, I know what the Bible says, but I also know how I grew up, and I'm just really not sure. I'm not sure if that's for me. I'm not sure if drinking is something that I should do. And sometimes in culture and in society, right, her friends could come up to her and say, well, you know what? You won't know until you try it. Right? How many of us have heard that before? Just try it, and if you don't like it, then you know what? That's fine, and then it's not for you. But right here, if you have doubts about whether or not you should do something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it. So to round this entire gray series out, we started off talking about how not everything is black and white in Scripture, right? That there are these gray areas that the Bible does not specifically talk about if it is sinful or not. But the Lord knows our hearts, and He knows that we will try to find loop arounds and all of these types of things. So we ask ourselves all of these questions. Is it wise for me to do? Is it beneficial? Does it cause other people to stumble? And if you're still not sure at the end, right here in Romans 14, God makes it very clear to you that it is a sin. If you are like me and you need an answer about whether something is sinful or not in your life, if it's going to separate you from the Lord, God says, if you have doubts, it is a sin. What does that mean for us? It means that we need to take our relationship with God very seriously. Very, very seriously. We need to understand that the decisions we make in this world have an eternal impact on our life. And it's so easy to get caught up in the entertainment and the enjoyment of life. And God wants us to do that, right? He says in Ecclesiastes to eat, drink, be merry, and enjoy life, because life is like a vapor. It's going to flash before us. We enjoy life, but at the same time, He says, hey, I want you to serve me and I want you to follow me because I have blessings I want to pour out on you. I know what is better for you. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I had a plan and a purpose for your life, and I want to see it come to fruition. And so we look at all of these things and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to take my relationship with you seriously. I'm going to ask these questions. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to do the difficult work to ask myself, is this something I should have in my life or not? And if the answer is yes, I'm going to do it and I'm not going to look back. I'm going to enjoy my life. But if I'm not sure or the answer is no, causes somebody else to stumble, I'm going to stay away from it because I know it will separate me from you. What we're going to do now is they're going to get some music ready to play. And I want us just to take the next couple of moments, and I want you to sit and just pray and reflect on these words and these thoughts. I know that a lot of what I said this morning might be very challenging to your heart and to your spirit. I want you to begin to digest them and to work them into your soul. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding. Maybe there's something in your mind that you're like, man, I'm not sure if this is an area in my life that I should be dealing with or not. Maybe I am causing somebody else to stumble. Maybe it's not beneficial or wise for me to do. In your own mind, in your own heart, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to begin to reveal those things to you. Ask Him to convict you so you know the right step forward to go. So let's play that music as we spend some time with the Lord.
Lord, I thank you for not being a selfish God, a God that cares only for himself. But Lord, you cared for me. You cared for the world. Lord, you loved the world so much that you sent your only Son to die for us. And if we believe in him, we will not perish, but have eternal life. Lord, you showed the truth about how a relationship with you is not just about us, it's about everybody. God, I pray right now, as we've taken this time, we've taken this message to heart that you have challenged us with this morning. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will just help us to live it out. Give us the insight, the knowledge, the wisdom, even the conviction when we need it, to know what things we are doing that are causing others to stumble and are a hindering block of their relationship with you. And help us, God, to live lives that are not about serving our own desires, but about serving you. Lord, I know this is one of the most difficult things we will ever do as a follower of Christ, to give up our own lives, our own pleasures, our own desires, our own securities for you and for others. But it is what you have called us to do. The cost of serving you is great. And in this moment, Lord, I choose to pay that cost. Lord, I know there are others here this morning that they are still struggling maybe with this message. They're still digesting and chewing on it, and they're not sure what to think about it. And that's okay. So Lord, you work out our faith with fear and trembling. We are all on a spiritual journey trying to get closer to you. And I just pray that in the upcoming days and weeks and months, as they continue to reflect on this message and this thought, that you will continue to lead them and guide them in the path that they should go, the only way that your Holy Spirit can. Thank you, Jesus, in your holy, mighty name. Amen.